as we've heard on the show over the last week, new suggested guidelines from the EPA would require power plants to lower carbon emission levels. The goal in part is to reduce climate change pollutants.
But our next guest says that as stricter regulations on the use of fossil fuels are on the rise in the U.S. and other developed countries, and demand may be slowing down, energy companies are shifting their sales efforts to the developing world.
Michael Clare joins us now. He's professor of peace and world security studies at Hampshire College and the author most recently of The Race for What's Left. Michael, welcome to the show.
Always a pleasure to join you in Wisconsin.
Well, Michael, in a recent piece you wrote, you compare fossil fuels today with tobacco a couple of decades back and the strategies that tobacco used to keep their profits moving. What do they have in common?
What they have in common is a desire to perpetuate their profits of selling fossil fuels no matter what, and with increasing regulation in the United States, first on tobacco and now on fossil fuels, carbon products, these companies are looking to the developing world as a market to make up the loss that they may face in the developed countries. So just as tobacco targeted China and other developing countries when smoking became more difficult in the United States, now the fossil fuel companies are targeting China, India, and other developing countries that want energy and are less concerned about the environmental consequences.
Well, what kind of impact can we expect to see both in those countries and globally if fossil fuel consumption rises in the developing world?
Well, it's very clear that there will be an increase in carbon dioxide emissions, greenhouse gases, and the pace of climate change, of warming, will increase for years and years to come. So when President Obama, I support what he's doing, is cutting back on coal consumption in this country, if we then ship our surplus coal to China, which is what the coal companies want to do, there'll be just as much as emissions as before. There'll be no reduction in carbon emissions.
And the companies have been pretty transparent, at least based on some of what you quote, about wanting to shift some of the business overseas to some of these countries like China and India who are on the developing end of things. And they've said, well, these are people who have energy need, and it's in a sense a humanitarian goal to provide them with energy. What would you say to that?
That's what they say. They say that there are many people in the developing world who want more energy. They want cars, they want air conditioners, they want basic sources of electricity, and so on, and that's certainly the case. And they say that it's a humanitarian mission to help provide those people with energy. Well, that may be so, but all of the studies done by international scientific bodies and U.S. government show that poor people in the developing world will be the principal victims of climate change, that people in those countries are more exposed to flooding, to drought, to food scarcity, and other natural disasters as the climate the emissions increase and climate change gains momentum.
Would you expect to see those countries begin to regulate more rigorously the way, say, the United States and other countries are doing?
They talk that way, but they're torn because they have high developmental goals. They want to increase electricity production. They want to increase manufacturing. And to do that, they want a lot of energy quickly. And the cheapest, easiest way to increase production, energy production, is by burning coal. So they are putting their developmental goals ahead of their long-term security.
And do you expect to see health issues as well?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Anybody who has either traveled to China in recent years or has followed in the news knows very well that the atmospheric conditions are horrendous, that people could barely breathe in a lot of those cities because of their reliance on coal, their heavy reliance on coal. And so the health effects are astonishing. Millions of people suffering from smog-related illnesses.
What do you see as the alternative for these countries? They seem to have a demand for fuel, for energy. they can't stop using fossil fuels, can they?
I think they can. I mean, in the short term, of course, they've made an investment in coal plants. China and India, Turkey, Indonesia, other rapidly developing countries. But it's in their very best interests to move as rapidly as possible to renewable sources of energy, both from a health perspective, national security perspective, and ultimately economically, because they won't need to import so much energy if they could rely on domestic renewable fuels. And they want to do that, but they need help. They don't have the technology yet fully developed, although they're moving that way, and they need support from the developed countries to rapidly accelerate the introduction of renewable sources of energy.
And looking at the big picture for a moment, which is the amelioration of climate change, if we have the developing world amping up their use of fossil fuels, does that mean that the countries who are working to scale it back, you know, they'll sort of cancel each other out and we'll be at a stalemate?
Oh, I'm afraid that's so, because it doesn't matter where the carbon emissions originate. They all go up into the outer atmosphere and settle there and trap heat, causing climate change. So even if we in this country managed to reduce our carbon emissions under President Obama's plan, if we continue to export fossil fuels to other countries or stand by when they increase their reliance on fossil fuels, we're going to suffer just as much as we would otherwise.
Michael, we'll leave it there. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure always.
That was Michael Clare, professor of peace and world security studies at Hampshire College and the author of The Race for What's Left.